The driver of learning and teaching is inquiry, and it so beautifully aligns with the framework of curiosity and creativity that we want to bring in into our school and make it into a fabric of every classroom.
As vozes do professor.
As vozes do معلمون.
Lausi ya wa'i.
Teachers' voices.
Hello and welcome to Teachers' Voices, the podcast made from the stories of teachers from around the world, talking in their own words. Teachers' Voices is produced in partnership with Bolt, the digital platform of learning and development. I am your host, Nina Alonso. I'm an educational researcher, and for the past 10 years, I have been devoted to improving equal access to education. Through my research, I meet teachers and educationalists with a huge range of experience, and they share with me their inspiring stories and advice. If you're interested in how children learn and develop, please subscribe. Today, we will be talking about curiosity and creativity in learning, an issue that I have been looking forward to discussing with both researchers and practitioners. To discuss this important topic, I'm joined by Sarah and Zlatana. They are researchers from the ACER, the Australian Council of Education and Research. And we'll hear from teachers from around the world who are participants on a project run in collaboration with the international baccalaureate organization, the IBO. They have been conducting fascinating research on ways to encourage and evaluate creativity and curiosity in the classroom. We will listen to the insights of Kaylee and Maureen, primary school teachers in Hunter Valley, Australia, Ingrid, a math teacher in a secondary school in Beijing, China, Asmin, a middle school teacher in Mumbai, and Monica, who you just heard. She is a primary school head teacher from Gurgaon in India. All these practitioners shared stories of ways to foster curiosity and creativity in classroom practice, and they tell us how taking part in a research project made them reflect and explore new ideas. You will hear more about the stories of motivation of these enthusiastic teachers and the tips and resources that they share with other teachers in the following episode, so don't miss it. The ultimate goal of the IBO and ACER project was to develop transcripts, a guiding document that teachers and students can fill with their reflections to track learners' progress in the domains of curiosity and creativity. I was really interested to hear more about how the researchers collaborated with teachers in testing prototype materials in the classroom and resources such as frameworks, quizzes, and visual tools like the thermometer, which we will hear about later. But to begin, let's hear from one of the ACER researchers, Sarah, who outlines the project.
I've been working on this project where we've both defined curiosity and creativity and also developed a transcript so that students and teachers can record students' growth in their creativity and curiosity proficiency. We've been doing that for a couple of years now. It's been a fantastic project.
Before we go to the practicalities, let's reflect on why curiosity and creativity can be so relevant for all learning. How can these be defined? Can they be considered skills, or is it more pertinent to consider them attributes? Sarah explains their approach.
I think, first of all, maybe let me just broaden it out a little bit. So we are emphasizing increasingly in education the inclusion of transversal domains. Now, people often call these 21st century skills, but I've got a problem with that. First of all, it seems a bit strange to use the term 21st century when we're already in the 21st century. So we tend to use the term transversal to emphasize that these cut across lots of different subjects. And also we're a bit wary of using the term skills, because I think when you think about something like curiosity, it's partly an attribute, partly a competence, but it's also got skill components. I don't think we really have the right terminology. So we tend to refer to them as attributes. So the reason that transversal attributes such as curiosity and creativity are so important is that they are the foundations of learning. So, look, in many ways, you could suggest that without curiosity and creativity, learning doesn't happen. And I think, you know, it's relevant to also note that we're talking about creativity and curiosity here. But obviously, there are lots of different transversal attributes. But I think that it's important to note that curiosity, you know, is arguably the most essential one. So curiosity is often referred to as the attribute that underpins all of the other transversal elements. And it's really essential in stimulating learning. And I think finally, an important point is when we're thinking about the role that curiosity and creativity play in learning, there's little value in trying to teach them in isolation. It's really important that they are part and parcel of learning in every subject or topic. So we're not encouraging teachers to have, you know, curiosity classes. It's something that needs to be part and parcel of everything. And really looking at ways that students can strengthen their creativity and curiosity. And overall, this can really help with the metacognitive development of students.
When talking about tracking the learner's progress in any given domain, we need to define what the domain is, and that's not a problem if we talk about subjects such as mathematics or reading. However, when it comes to defining domains such as curiosity and creativity, the issue seems less clear. So let's now hear from Sarah's research colleague, Sladana.
So one of our first challenges with this project was to find an optimum way to explain creativity and curiosity together with their various subcomponents in a language that will resonate with learners and teachers and that is appropriate across numerous cultural settings. So the focus was on the new ways of viewing these attributes in the classroom, how to define them, how to think of approaches to identify achievement of learners, and the critical importance that schools have in providing environments that are conducive to learners' creativity and curiosity.
So the first thing that Sarah and Sladana's team worked on was on defining curiosity and creativity in ways that could resonate with different educational stakeholders, beginning with a global symposium and expanding to a network of IB schools. Sarah and Sladana gathered from a wide range of educational researchers and practitioners. This kept the needs of teachers and learners at the heart of the project.
And in this project, when we were looking at creativity and curiosity, one of the key parameters was to consider different cultures, different countries, how the constructs might work differently in different places. And so we were able to consult with teachers in schools all around the world. And that gave a really fascinating dimension to the work that we've done. And we hope that the resources that we've developed will be useful for teachers all around the world.
Later on, we will hear Sarah and Sladana share the working definitions that this research project has led to. But first, let's listen to the reflections of teachers who participated in this research. We first meet Ingrid, who welcomes us in the outskirts of Beijing, in the campus of the secondary boarding school where she lives and teaches maths.
Curiosity is not just having students Googling or going to the library looking for something. You need to actually teach them the ATLs to actually be efficient. And very often we skip this as teachers because we assume that they know or we are too slow on it and it becomes boring for them. Very often people think that they're born creative or they're not creative. The same way as people think that they're good at maths or not good at maths. And I think we need to break this. Creativity is not a gene and it's hard work and it's scary, but it can be developed. Some people are more skilled than others, but it's okay. It doesn't mean that you're not creative any longer.
Monica, head teacher in a primary school in India, also reflects on this.
So curiosity is when there are more questions to your answers and it never stops. You're curious to find more and more, more and more. So sometimes as teachers, we feel that just finding an answer to a child who's asking a lot of questions is a curious learner, but that could be just at a very superficial level. So we just thought that we really need to analyze this a little more so that we can create some very authentic learning engagements, experiences in the classroom to develop genuine curiosity so that children can actually deep dive into their own thinking, bring out their own interests and passions and take this forward. So it should not be a start and stop. This is something which is going to continue. So these are some shifts that we want to bring into our classroom, that just finding an answer and completing a task is not curiosity. It's just at a very superficial level.
Based on insights from literature reviews and feedback from other experts and participant teachers, the ACER researchers developed frameworks to define the constructs of creativity and curiosity and develop tools and resources that teachers and learners can refer to in class.
Here is Sladan again.
So for creativity, the definition focuses the attention on working with themes, ideas, people, or any combination in a purposeful and directed way, taking into account real-life constraints. So our definition is, creativity is a material, mental, and a social process that leads to the production of novel and useful ideas, approaches, and solutions. It involves the exploration, generation, and evaluation of both problems and ideas made possible through divergent, experimental, and convergent thinking. And for curiosity, the definition focuses the attention on curiosity as an attribute that fosters deep and lifelong learning. So our definition is, curiosity involves the recognition of a meaningful gap in one's knowledge or understanding, the desire to fill that gap, and the motivation and intrinsic satisfaction of doing so.
And the framework is really good because it goes back to analyzing what is curiosity and what is creativity and the path to reach it.
Ingrid's reflection on the use of frameworks to foster curiosity is in line with the definition that Sladana shared. Teachers from schools participating in this research project developed different activities that helped them and their students reflect in the interdisciplinary processes of understanding what strategies, tools, and learning environments can foster curiosity and creativity. Let's hear first the story of Asmin, who tells us about her practice with middle schoolers in Mumbai, India. She mentions the use of some resources like a thermometer, that we will explain shortly.
I was teaching integrated humanities in grade 7, and we had to capture the soul of Mumbai and all the cultural aspects of it, or in all the things that actually made Mumbai unique or special. And, you know, if I would have to do that in a conventional way, it would take me forever because there's so many things in Mumbai. And, you know, considering I'm a drama practitioner, I obviously bring the drama pedagogy into the classroom. So the creativity framework actually aligned beautifully with that and served as great guideline, because what we did was we asked students to create monologues. I gave them, you know, there are 40 students, so each one got a topic ranging from, you know, this batata vada, which is a popular delicacy like the Indian burger, to, you know, the local self-governing civic body of Mumbai. They had to actually become that. They had to become the largest slum Dharavi. One of them was the Bandra Worli Sea Link. One of them was the Deonar landfill, which is a garbage dump yard in Navi Mumbai. And like that, each one of them got a very unique topic to conduct research on. And after their research, where they noted down facts, stage two meant that they had to come together with the emotions that married those facts. For example, how would the Deonar Hill dump yard be feeling? You know, add emotion to that. So they had to present fact, but instead of doing it as a presentation, they actually felt and experienced that place after their research. And they were given, you know, this huge template to fill that kind of helped them thrash out all the possible nuances that a monologue really expects. Then they were given feedback after they wrote their monologues based on that plan template. And once their feedback was given, they had to all on Flipgrid record their videos within 3 minutes, and they could use costumes, they could use virtual backgrounds, they could use whatever they like, and upload them for everybody else to see them too. And each one had to then comment on at least two of those pieces. And that was how we use monologues to teach and learn in the classroom. And of course, then we gave them the fantastic thermometers to evaluate their learning. Students, even though they may not have understood really the language, you know, of the descriptors, they were still able to objectively, once simplified, able to kind of, you know, put themselves in certain brackets. So it was really nice.
Ingrid, teaching in Beijing, is passionate about the connections between arts and mathematics. To understand the potential of fostering curiosity in her area, maths, Ingrid told me about a transdisciplinary activity she developed.
We keep on saying that maths is all around us, but most students actually don't see where maths is. And even for me, at the beginning of my teaching career, I'm pretty sure that I would not see maths around me. But in mathematics, you might be curious in trying to find the answer and call it curiosity. But I don't know if it's really curiosity, because you're not curious in terms of looking at all the different ways. You tend to just want to find the answer. And creativity very often is not really, I don't feel it's taught enough in mathematics. We teach from day one that it's either right or wrong. So for helping students with their IA, we went to a museum and there was a photo of Dali, and one of the paintings of Dali, you have a watch that is melting. So we talked about the watches, and then we ended up talking about the fact that during the French Revolution, we were not counting in 60s. So we talked about 60s. So he looked at the number on the watch. He looked at the shape, and he said, "Oh, what would happen if the watch is not a circle any longer? It becomes an oval." And therefore the speed, like depending on how you calculate the speed, if you look at the speed in terms of the arc, or if you look at the speed in terms of the angle, and if it's not a circular shape, then what's going to happen? And I really like the fact that he was actually seeing beyond just the painting of Dali. He was not trying to just try to interpret what Dali was trying to do on his painting. He was using Dali's image to actually create his own interpretation. And looking at the core idea of what a watch is. So he was simplifying and analyzing the watch. I mean, Dali is actually a pretty cool source of inspiration, because just in his idea, he takes some of the art piece and put them in different perspective. And therefore, it leads the students to also become risk takers and see just beyond what is normal, what is usually a watch, and question themselves. So you, in this process of creativity, I often tell the students that there's a bit of TOK in here, and you have to close your eyes and try to see what you know from what you've seen. Like we sometimes go and see something and I say, okay, now you cannot see it any longer and you're going to try to describe it. What have you seen? What are the things that you can remember from it?
Kylie and Marie also told me about two experiences fostering curiosity and creativity in their primary school in Australia.
I've got one for curiosity. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago in my class, I had a year four class. We spent every morning of the entire year doing would you rather questions. Mm-hmm. So would you rather be too hot or too cold? Would you rather be at the beach or the lake? Would you rather eat ice cream or chocolate? And what I found was that the students had, I encouraged the students to be really curious about other people's answers and why they had answered in a specific way. So over the course of the year that I had them, we went from fairly basic, I like the beach better, why is that? I don't know, to actually having full explanations of the students were able to verbally explain their choice, and they became very good questioners of each other. Why do you enjoy the beach? What is it about the beach that you like? Is there anything in specifically about a lake that you don't like? And they just really dug deep by the end of the year into the types of questions and the curious nature that they were bringing to the system that we had in place.
So Kylie spoke about curiosity, so I can speak about creativity. And we're an international baccalaureate school in which we take on the units of inquiry, one of which is how we express ourselves. So it very much lends itself to the creative domains. So we have engaged in a lot of activities in relation to creativity, from graffiti art to food creativity. And the expansion is according to the students' own inquiry and curiosity. And over the time, they get to drive their own inquiries and come up with their own creativity and reflect on that. So I think having that ownership and that buy-in of students to delve into their own creativity and curiosity associated with it really enables the students to flourish and challenge them as well along the way. So that's, I would have to say that that's probably quite a significant opportunity that we have embedded in practice.
Monica, head teacher from Gurgaon, India, also told me about her school's exploration of curiosity and creativity. As an IB school, he also works with units of inquiry.
We just, for example, we did a unit of inquiry in grade 4 on scientific principles. And as a result of their learning, children started making their own models, which are very environment friendly. And they could actually come and talk about that, which scientific principle they have used to make this sustainable model or an equipment or a car, which actually supports the philosophy of sustainability. And they could come and talk about it then. So how will you transfer your knowledge? What impact has this learning made on your life? And that's how children start thinking about it. What can I create? What can I, you know, maybe if it's also on the paper, what can I actually show that how I have actually learned? And we have actually introduced our children to the concept of social entrepreneurship, that whatever you learn through this unit or for your exhibition, then try and move from self to beyond, and how will you bring in and connect with the community? What learning will you transfer to the community? So children have actually really, really gone beyond what we had thought they could do. They have come up with projects like creating podcasts. They have come out with projects, community projects, you know, tying up with the local community to actually clean up the pond for the natural life to thrive.
Asmin, a middle school teacher from Mumbai, mentioned before a thermometer, which she used on an activity with her students. This is one of the research tools that the Acer Research Project on Curiosity and Creativity developed. Let's hear from Sladana about this.
A significant contribution of our work was this notion that rather than a linear progression in which, you know, one's skills and knowledge can evolve over time, creativity and curiosity rises and falls in response to a stimuli, and that can be either external stimuli or internal preferences. And to reflect this rise and fall, we have used the metaphor of a thermometer. And we chose thermometer not only because it's easily understandable by both primary and secondary learners, but it's also non-judgmental. So you can be cold or cool, warm and hot, and they're all different, but none are better or worse than another. So one example is that, for example, a learner may be full of curiosity about something like the life cycle of a moth. And that can be because they might have a broader interest in insects, or they could be, you know, due because they have a really good teacher that introduced this topic in an engaging way. And another learner may not be interested in that, and they may be completely lacking in curiosity about that, but they may be deeply curious about something else, such as movement of the planets or something else entirely.
Sarah and Sladana's research team has done a lot of work on the thermometer as a metaphoric idea, but also as a resource that schools participating in the research could experience as part of their reflective practices, fostering curiosity and creativity. Kylie from Hunter Valley, Australia, shared her thoughts about how she used the thermometer as a resource in the classroom to measure the students' curiosity.
So in class, when I'm encouraging students to use their creativity, I often put the thermometer up on the board for the students to access. And you've got a situation where the bottom one is a snow emblem, so they're quite cold. The second one up vertically is a cloud, so the children are cool. The third one up is a sun behind a cloud, and then the top one is sunny. And what I work with the children on is where do they feel their curiosity for the current unit or lesson is now. So an example from the cold section would be, I didn't really explore the task or topic much at all. That was something that then gives me a launch pad to discuss with the student why that was the case. Why didn't they engage? Was there, you know, was there an issue with the content? Was there something occurring in their home life? It gives me a launch pad. But what I also like to do is allow the students to see the next level up. So if they're already on the cloud and the sun, but they really want to get to the full sun, how do they get there? There's prompts there that assist the students in knowing what to do next on the curiosity scale in order to level up again. So not only does it help them to see where they currently are, it also allows them to see where to from here, and they can make deliberate choices in how they're engaging with their curiosity in order to delve more deeply into, yeah, what they're curious about in a specific lesson or unit. And then we have time built into our units for the students to actually follow that curiosity path of the notes that they've jotted down. So if we're doing a unit of inquiry on colonisation in Australia and who colonised Australia and how and the timeframes, a student might jot down some notes that they're curious about finding out more about the Aboriginal tribes that were in the area, or they're more curious about finding out how the convicts were treated on the ships. So it allows them to drive their curiosity.
Finally, Monica talks about the experience in her school.
We also introduced the thermometer, which actually evaluates your level of curiosity, your level of engagement with the task. And for that, the students had to study and understand that how do you actually use this developmental tool to evaluate where you are in terms of your curiosity. And I think that worked very well. So students are getting now into some kind of a systematic evaluation of these dispositions when they're actually doing a task which actually fosters and promotes the element of curiosity and creativity. So this is something that we want to strengthen. So one outcome was that there were a lot of good ideas, you know, and strategies that came from the students. One was that more collaboration time, so that they can actually collaborate, discuss ideas, engage with personal inquiries. And I think when the children are actually working in a non-threatening environment, when you don't have very specific intentions, then there is more scope for them to actually dig more, find more.
The thermometers are a visual tool that help teachers and students feel the transcripts. The transcripts that the researchers developed are used to identify how students think they demonstrate creativity and curiosity in different learning processes. They are used both by students and teachers. The transcripts also provide space for teachers to then validate the students' claims. Sladana explained how this research tool is meant to encourage some degree of reflective conversations about the learner's progression.
And this helps us not just to evidence learners' progression, although obviously we want to do that, but also to take into account a number of other parameters, such as focusing on student agency, student-centered approach, focusing on avoiding constraining and narrowing learners, but instead just letting them focus on what is meaningful to them. We've trialed them with some of the schools and we've had some very good feedback on them.
Marie from Hunter Valley in Australia described how they used their creativity transcripts that their researchers developed to work in their classroom practice.
We embed a similar structure of the creativity transcript that was in the research project, and we embed it with our units of inquiry. So it enables the students to have a good reflection of not only the curriculum outcomes, but also the skills associated. And it's a common debate, a pedagogical debate at the moment, in forecasting the future of what we really should be teaching. Is it just the outcomes, the curriculum underpinnings that we have to focus on, or is it the skills base? And that's where the curiosity and creativity opportunities come into play, and they tap into those skills that warrant for lifelong learning and hopefully for future job aspects as well. So we embed the creativity transcript in our own practice and our own units of inquiry, where students are reflecting, for instance, in how we express ourselves. Students will inquire into different ways how they can express through feelings, nature, culture, beliefs, and values. We have an activity where it's driven by them, and they explore the experiences and influences on their own creativity identity. And focusing on the skills base of it, they reflect on their own culture, their own beliefs, their own emotions attached to the processes and the colours and the textures and the techniques there. So the creativity transcript, which uses visual cues as well for the students, enables them to give deep reflection. But not only that, it also enables them to tap into their own character strengths and the learner profiles, which is embedded with the IB as well. Mm-hmm. And so reflecting on those strengths and their skills, they can not only reflect on their own, and the teacher reflects on the actual process rather than just the product, they also do the self-reflection and then peer reflection. So they're looking at, you know, the focus, the composition, the creativity embedded, is it originality, the uniqueness of it, and the craftsmanship associated with it. So the actual creativity transcript offers us a really good hitchhike activity, a scaffold for the students to platform their ideas and reflect on not only themselves but others.
All interviewed teachers highlight that the transcripts developed in this research worked for them as scaffoldings, as guides that helped the students and teachers to reflect on creative learning processes rather than on the creation of any final product. Marie explained this with the example of how the transcripts helped her students during the work they developed for a unit called How We Express Ourselves.
So it's not necessarily just on the end result, but they photograph along the way, which itself is creativity and an element of creativity, and then they embed it on their sheet and reflect back on that. I think it enables them different opportunities as well. So we don't just explore using one medium. So the focus is not on the actual end product. We may see creativity and materials and presentations of works around the room, but we don't depict it as an end product, because it's a continuous learning that evolves, and it's just their reflection at that point in time.
The researchers developed an additional tool to help the teachers reflect on how to foster curiosity and creativity within the classrooms.
So apart from the thermometer and transcript, we have also developed teacher quizzes. So the idea between these quizzes is that the teachers can do them themselves, and then it will focus them on the things that perhaps they haven't thought about that they could be doing to encourage and foster creativity and curiosity within the classrooms.
Monica from India tells us how the quizzes also are helpful in helping shape thinking and strategy.
We analyzed the outcomes of the reflective quiz that we did with the entire staff. We made an action plan that this is what we want to move towards. We also engaged students, took their responses at what curiosity means to you. Are you a curious learner? And I think those very profound reflections gave us a data that, and some beautiful outcomes came from the school, from the students, that this is what I think we should be doing more to foster curiosity in the classrooms. There should be more collaboration, more provocations in the classroom, more personal time for students to engage with personal inquiries that they can do within school hours, outside school hours.
ASER's research on curiosity and creativity highlights the relevance of supportive learning environments. Sarah and Sladana's team created a guide about learning environments that includes examples of how teachers can encourage more curiosity and creativity within the classrooms. Sarah talks about this.
So in the work that we've done, we refer to an enabling environment, and we've actually used the metaphor of fertility. So if you think about growing seeds in an unfertile growing environment, the seeds are present, they're there in the soil, but there's not the right environment for them to grow in. And I think that sort of latent creativity and curiosity of students, often they don't have the right environment to express them. And so we want to make sure that teachers are thinking about how they can best provide a supportive environment, and we've identified some ways that they can do that. The more that an environment, a school environment or a classroom environment becomes enabling, it's like providing additional, nutrients and sunshine and water to seeds. They can grow and become stronger. So I think that metaphor works quite well. But I think teachers can play a really critical role in setting the right conditions, but also providing the guidelines, because otherwise things can become quite chaotic and not very productive. And so it's that getting the right balance between giving students freedom, but freedom within some guidance, within some expectations. And that really can help make sure that their creativity and curiosity is unleashed in very positive ways.
Freedom and lack of constraints are important factors that enable learners to take greater ownership of the learning approaches and topics they might choose. I find very interesting the ways in which these researchers and teachers have explored ways to find a good balance, to give students enough freedom to unleash their curiosity and creativity without giving way to chaotic learning environments.
And equally, when learners are generating ideas, when they're being creative, it's not just random creativity. But again, teachers can encourage them to, for example, draw on different subject areas or interests. Drawing connections between different ideas can really help to generate novel concepts. And it's also about valuing all of the ideas, even if they may seem silly initially. Learners that can generate different approaches that might be weird or eccentric, they're really exhibiting their unleashed creativity and curiosity. But also, there needs to be a pragmatic element. So once students have used that really creative open process, it's important that those ideas are then evaluated. How useful are they? How pragmatic are they, for example, as solutions? And as part of that process, I think it's important that teachers are also encouraging learners to justify the approach they've taken, why they think it's original, the solution that their innovation might help to solve, the benefits that it will generate, etc. So it's really not just about generating lots of ideas in the case of creativity. It's about doing that, but within a certain structure. And so what we've done in the frameworks that we've developed is we've broken down creativity and curiosity into their component parts. And if teachers focus on each of those, that will ensure that creativity and curiosity of students really contributes to their learning.
Listening to these ideas, I hope the stories inspire you, as much as me, to encourage, study, and evaluate curiosity and creativity. They are such important elements of successful learning processes. My guests today have particularly highlighted the importance of creating the conditions for making the whole school environment a supportive learning system that fosters these skills. And I believe these conditions require a safe space for structured reflection and dialogue among all members of a learning community. Educational tools and resources to guide the students' reflective processes are very useful. Visual aids like the thermometers described here can also be important. Ultimately, tracking students' processes and self-evaluation with the structured templates, such as the transcripts mentioned in this episode, could give educators the resources they need to support the development of their learners' curiosity and creativity. I would love to hear what you think. Do you use any tools like this in the classroom? You can share your insights with us, writing us or sending us your voice messages. In this episode, we have listened to great examples of how researchers and practitioners have worked together in developing learning environments and teaching strategies that can help to encourage and evaluate children's curiosity and creativity. Learn more about our guests and find links to the report of the ACER research we talked about here, another research done on behalf of the IBO by the Oxford University Center for Educational Assessment in the show notes, or visit world.expert. Don't forget to subscribe and share with us your comments, and stay tuned for the following episode where you will hear the heartwarming stories of motivation of the teachers who participated in the Curiosity and Creativity research and their tips and resources.